Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square, we on the earth, we about to earn it out. Tune in and turn it up to hear what we talking about, whether it's old or a new point. Call in with your viewpoint and add to our collective of colorful perspective. The brothers, word to the mothers of the queens and the kings. We gon' get into some things, dig deep and going deeper, waking up the sleeper. Who be been a keeper? Yeah, your boy done found a keeper. See, we talking.
Kev, a.k.a. Cosmic Kev.
And this is Rijo.
Hotep, Assalamu Alaikum, this is Mufasa Ra. How you living?
All right, and we are Collective Minds. Well, we ain't all got to think alike, but we all got to think. What's up, family? What's going on? We are back for another show, another powerful discussion. But before we get started, we like to get into announcements and see how everybody's week went this past week. Roger Saw, how was your week? And do you got any announcements for the family?
As always, my week was great because it's a matter of my perception. So just want to throw that out there. So if you want your week to be great, change your perception. So, okay, but as far as an announcement goes, I just want to say there was an awesome fight last night, and I want to see it again.
Wait,
Dante Wilder.
Which one you talking about? Which fight you talking about, in case people don't know?
Wilder and Fury. It was a boxing fight, about a boxing match. It was last night, and it was really, really great. I enjoyed it.
But you feel it was controversial, too, don't you?
Oh, it's so... I mean, well, I'll put it like this. I do have a lot of different opinions about it, you know. But it was a good fight. I want to see it again, though, because I want to see if my opinions are going to change the second time around.
Okay. Based off your thoughts right now, how did you feel about the outcome?
Well, I would much rather it be that than for Wilder to take a loss, because I was rooting for Wilder. So if it wasn't gonna be him just a straight win, then I'm okay with that.
Cool.
Because it didn't take away from his record. You know, it still helped it in a sense, because it didn't take away. It just added a new little something on there. But he get an opportunity to fight him again. I'm looking forward to that second time. So I'm satisfied with the decision, you know, because I'd rather it be that than to have Wilder with the loss. If that makes sense.
Right. So the decision was a draw, right? The decision
right.
was a draw.
Yeah. Okay. So they saying they both won and they both lost.
Right, it was a tie, right. It's a tie.
Right. You lost
a good fight, I agree. Right. I agree. Brother Mufasa, you got any announcements? And, you know, how was your week?
Week was busy but productive. And thankful that I'm still here in the land of the living, still breathing. So, shoot, I'm good. I want to give a shout out to Dr. Ava. To student minister Dr. Ava Muhammad, who came here to St. Louis this weekend. She was here yesterday for a town hall meeting. That town hall meeting was titled, Should Black consider separation. So it was a, you can tell by the name, it was a deep, controversial, powerful town hall meeting. And if anybody's interested in information on that movement, you can go to projectseparation.com, projectseparation.com, and that's the website dealing with should blacks separate. So check it out if you're interested.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And I will second that. I was also able to attend that town hall meeting. So shout out to student minister Dr. Ava Muhammad. There was a powerful discussion. You know, shout out to all the people at Moz 28, the panel, all the people in attendance. It was definitely a conversation that's worth having and, you know, that needs to be seriously considered. You know what I mean? Considering the day and times that we're living in right now. So, you know, I was fortunate enough to be in attendance. It was powerful. I learned a lot. Got to listen to the people speak. Got to listen to, you know, the panelists speak and everybody get their opinions and what they thought. And, you know, I thought it was a very constructive meeting. The only thing left is just to execute. You know what I'm saying? Get all the logistics laid out, and then the only thing is just to execute. So, you know, shout out to everybody on that. And speaking of separation, it kind of goes in hand with what we're talking about tonight, family. Again, this is Collective Minds Radio. This is not a spectator sport. So if y'all want to join the conversation, give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. And this week, we're talking about North Sentinel Island and what can the world learn from that particular island, and you know, how do we deal with each other moving forward, considering this is the last uncolonized place on the planet. And there was an incident with the tourists I think a few weeks ago who tried to go on the island. Well, not a tourist. They say he was a missionary. But he tried to go on the island, and basically,
yeah,
I guess
some people call him a thrill seeker, too.
A thrill seeker, colonizer, conquistador, missionary. There's a lot of different names.
A damn fool.
There you go, a fool, and things like that. So before we get into the discussion, I'm going to just read just this article that I typed up real quick. This is from the New York Times, and the article is entitled, John Chow Wanted to Change Life on North Sentinel Island. Was he wrong?
Bless his heart. Bless his heart.
That's the title. Yeah, bless his heart. Now, an article goes on to say, the death of a young American missionary on a tropical island at the hands of an indigenous group has left us to wonder, are they better off with us or without us? 2 weeks ago, a young American made a doomed mission to North Sentinel Island, a speck in the Bay of Bengal and home to perhaps the most isolated people on Earth. Ever since he was a boy, John Chow, an evangelical missionary with an acute case of wanderlust, dreamed of spreading Christianity to the people on North Sentinel. Lying far off India's coast in the Andaman island chain, North Sentinel is about the size of Manhattan, though not exactly its cousin. The people there are hunters and gatherers. They follow a lifestyle tens of thousands of years old. No outsiders know their language. We don't even know where they came from. We don't even know what they call themselves, definitely not the Sentinelese, as some people do. Now, with that, I think we do know where they come from. It's been, you know, mostly speculated that they have migrated from Africa. I heard from like 30,000 to 60,000 years ago. So we're talking about a long span of history. And just to put into context, the written history that we have today doesn't even go back 30,000 years, okay? Even when we look at the Egyptian dynasties or Sumeria, Persia, Babylonia, whatever those ancient cultures, according to history, they don't even go back that far. The most you'll probably get from contemporary history is, you know, maybe 10,000, maybe 15,000 years. So just to put that in context, we're talking about a prehistoric people who migrated from Africa, went to this island, and they haven't been touched since. And just one last paragraph real quick. They have attacked just about anyone trying to step onto their shore, appearing virtually naked and firing arrows. Then they retreat from the beach and melt into the forest. Why? That's a mystery too. Then it says Mr. Child's death widely but Mr. Child's widely reported death has dragged this island out of obscurity and raised some fundamental moral questions. How should we in the modern world interact with the last of these very fragile groups? Is it better to stick the island in a glass museum case, which the Indian government has essentially done, and try to keep anyone from interacting with the islanders? Or is that paternalistic, denying the people there the same things that just about the whole world has agreed it wants, like education, healthcare, and technology? Now, I'm going to just leave it right there, and we can go in. Now, I definitely want to say the author who – the guy who wrote this particular article, we have his name. This is, again, a New York Times article. His name is Jeffrey Gettleman. Okay, and from the looks of the picture, he looks like he may be Caucasian. I could, you know, be wrong on that.
It is what it is.
Looking at the picture. So that article is biased. I think it's very arrogant for people to be like, oh, they need our technology. They need our education. They need our healthcare system. No, when the colonizers or Europeans go over there, they make these people sick. You see what I'm saying? That's why my whole thing is just leave them folks alone and let them live their life as people should all around the world. You know what I'm saying? Just let them people have autonomy over their lives and do what they got to do to survive. If they want to hunt and gather and fish and that's their lifestyle, who is anybody to say, oh, no, you need an iPhone. Oh, no, you need big screen TVs. You need, you know, the luxuries of, you need money. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, look.
You need Obamacare.
Yeah, you need Obamacare. You need this. Like, that's so arrogant of the people in that mindset to think that these people need something from the modern world.
It is what it is.
You know what I'm saying? So. I'm going to just let, you know, we go in and give us a call, family. Again, this is Collective Minds Radio. We're talking about North Sentinel Island. What can the world learn from this particular island, this incident with the missionary going over and getting killed? Is there anything to learn? What can we take from it as the world? What can we take from it as black people? Because I also like to keep a black perspective in this as well. So give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. I guess we go to Rigel Starr first. What do you think, you know, people of the world can learn from this North Sentinel Island incident?
Well, one thing that people should have definitely learned is that if you go over there, you're going to probably be killed. That's the first thing to learn from that situation.
Right. Yeah. That is true.
The other learning will only come in the event you don't go over there, so you can try to survive. But I mean, it brings more questions for me, of course, than answers. This is one of those situations that you don't know too much about what's over there. Nobody really does, and it's really hard to say fully. So this is just going to be a partial answer. But mainly, like I was saying, though, it gave me more questions. And I'll just say some of the questions that came to mind. And it's like, okay, if this world is everybody's, should we all be able to go places? I always say, like you guys always know, that it's how we treat one another anyway, you know. But then on another hand, the other question is, is this their space, though? You know, do we view this as their space because they are there, you know? And, of course, if that's how we do it, because most of the world is broken down that way anyway, you know, this is America over here, so that's them over there. I don't think in that case, if America and everybody, all the other nations is going to follow that rule, then I don't think they should go over there. I think they should, you know, leave them at peace. Now, if for some strange reason the narrative change where people say, you know what, we're all one, we're all united. And from that point, then, yeah, I guess people should be able to travel and go places that's on this world that technically really don't belong to anybody. So those are the types of things that I kind of thought about. And I'll leave it there and let Mufasa say his piece. And we can just conversate throughout the time.
Throughout the time. Okay, yes, indeed. Mufasa, why? What can we learn, or the world learn from this?
Well, first thing with that dude,
it is what it is.
I tell you what, that dude who wrote that article, he up to something. First off, he got an agenda.
Yes, sir.
He's trying to be persuasive too.
He's trying to persuade, you know, people in a certain direction.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, we need to be aware of that as
right.
Black people. He got an agenda. He's trying to kick the mess off. We've learned through history how missionaries, when they come to a particular area, what it can lead up to. Before even going there, the islanders made their choice. They let it be known that they want to be left alone. As soon as the outsider stepped foot in their space, they took care of them. They didn't play with them. And they come up trying to investigate him, exchange gifts. No, they took him straight on out because he doesn't belong. So they letting it be known. They don't want no health care. They don't want no Bible. They don't want whatever they got over there is what they want. They have told the world with that move, leave us the hell alone. Whatever we're going through over here, let us deal with it. We don't want to be bothered. And we should listen to that. You know, it's just like if I come to your house.
It is what it is.
And I'm knocking on your door, and you come to the door, and you tell me, hey, I don't want to be bothered. You close the door, and I just keep on banging. Who's in the wrong, me or the homeowner? You strictly told me you don't want to be bothered, leave me alone, but I'm just going to keep on coming. You're in the wrong. So that's first thing. They done made up their mind that they won't be left alone, and the world should respect that. Now, as far as like this missionary work go, you see what happened here in this land with the indigenous people, when these missionaries came over here trying to talk to the indigenous people of this country. That led to their demise. That led to the demise of the indigenous people of this land. I mean, I don't even have to go into a whole big spiel about that. The world, we all know the story of the Native Americans and what happened to them. That's why the country is in the turmoil in the way it is in now, from forcing people to a place that they don't want to be, and forcing people out of their homeland. So missionary work, cut it. Well, just take care of where you at. Take care of your area. You know, no migration. Take care of, improve the area where you at. You know what I'm saying? If people was, you know, and I had to tie it in with the whole Libya migration, with the world's going on there. And I understand that some people may, you know, they'd be willing to try to make these migrations because of drought and famine and stuff like that. Okay, I get that. But most of the time, these people who migrating and moving to other areas, a lot of times you still make situations worse for either you for either your people that's moving or the people whose land you have you come into. So I'm not a fan of migrating. I say let nature deal its course. Where the Creator put you at is where you need to be. And if you, and you be the caretaker of that area. Now, when the Creator don't want no more inhabitants on there and natural occurrences and natural drought happen, nature either has to take its course or maybe neighboring areas or neighboring villagers, just for lack of a better word, can lend a hand and maybe help bring you some water, bring you some food. But for a whole group of people to migrate into somebody else's space, I'm not a fan of that. I don't agree with that. You know, and right. To wrap myself up so we can get into our dialogue.
It is what it is.
Country here of America with those caravanning folks coming from the South. You know, they want people to feel sorry for them because they ain't allowed to come through the border. But what about the people that's here? Now, even though I already went through the history, and I'm not saying that that was cool how the history of America is, but hey, right now it is what it is. America is founded. So America has learned from the past. Close your borders. You just can't let people just come running in. You don't know what type of disease they got. You don't know what their mission is. Their mission can be to overthrow your set government. You don't know. So, no, stay where you at. Repair your area. Be the caretaker and improve the area that you were naturally put in. That's how I feel in a nutshell.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. And if you're just joining us, family, it's Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about the North Sentinel Island and the people there and what can we learn, you know, as a society, as a group of people, as a world, what can we learn from those people who have isolated themselves from the modern world? Give us a call. The number is 929-477-1697. We'll go to the call lines here in 1 second. This is Brother Kev. We got Roger Starr and my brother Mufasa, who just got done speaking. Now, I just want to just offer a perspective because I'm in agreement with you all, both of you all, but I'm kind of in the middle, you know what I'm saying, because I feel like you should, you know, wherever you're born, you should respect that land, try to make it better, do what you do, you know, to make your society or your particular land great or good and prosperous for you and your culture and your people. Now, at the same time, I do agree with Roger because I feel like this world is everyone's and we should be able to travel and respect other people's cultures. You dig what I'm saying? That's the problem when, you know, when Roger say it's about how we treat one another, because I feel like, hey, this is a big world. Nobody particularly owns the land. So in some respects, you should be able to travel, respect that those people's cultures, abide by their rules and their culture, and then do your own thing. And if you feel like you want to move and live somewhere else, you should have to go through whatever process that particular country or culture has. You dig what I'm saying? You shouldn't just be able to go and just set up land and, you know, just take over and do your own thing. No, you should have to respect that culture, respect those laws, and go through the process if they allow you to live in that particular land. Now, in the case of the North Sentinelese, I think they have a very legitimate reason why they don't allow people over there, because there was a story of an explorer who went over there in like the late 1800s. He actually got on the island, went through the forest, and ended up kidnapping two elderly people and some kids and taking them. You know what I'm saying? And they got word of how the other islands, the people were killed off that were near those islands. They got word of the people being killed off. They got word of diseases and how the colonizing missionaries came in there and gave those people diseases that they were not immune to based on their isolation. So I think in their case, they have a legitimate reason why they kill you on sight. You know what I'm saying? Why they don't even play games. They don't even entertain people coming like that. You know what I'm saying? They don't give you a chance to lie. They don't give you a chance to get them a Bible. It's just on sight. And I think due to what they know about people coming to those islands, I think that's justified. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in today's world, I feel like, hey, if you want to travel and go to these other places, just respect the people. You know what I'm saying? Just respect the culture. Just go by the laws that they have a certain, you know, process to where you can, if you want to live and migrate in a perfect world, you should be able to go and live and just respect where you at. You know what I'm saying? But we know how the world is set up is on a caste system based on colors. And things are not, you know, everybody's not treated the same. Everybody's not welcome the same. So, you know, that's just what it is. But like I said, I feel like the North Sentinelese, they have a legitimate reason to kill people on site based on what they know and what they've seen happen.
How do we know they got wind of those things?
Because, like I said, the guy in the late 1800s went over there and kidnapped people, and he tried to come back, and they weren't having it. You know what I'm saying? He kidnapped, they say, two elderly people and some kids. So they got wind of that. Now, I'm just assuming that they got wind of how the other islands have been colonized, because they said also in a particular article that one of the nearby islands, conquerors or people took the people from the nearby island and tried to take them to the North Sentinelese, thinking that they could communicate with them. But they weren't able to communicate because there had been a time span and it was just a language gap and a language difference. And those other islands, again, they've been turned into penal colonies. They've been turned into like tourist attractions. People get on boats and get on the island, and they have like safaris, basically treat these people like zoo animals, like safari animals, where they ride through and see the village people, and they sitting there, you know, doing their thing, and they just looked at like an exhibit. So that's why I'm just assuming that they have some foreknowledge of what happens when these people come on your land. Otherwise, you know, why would they be killing them? I think they have some type of knowledge like, hey, we know what y'all do when y'all get here, so it's just on site. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe it's possible that they just evolved naturally into having that in their DNA. Some things just be with you within your DNA, you know what I'm saying? And so they could be aware of what happened just, you know, through their ancestors. Maybe they didn't really see it. Maybe it was just the creator putting that in them, you know, to be on my spooky level. But that could be something that the creator put in them, saying, hey, we've seen how what's happened across the globe already. So I'm protecting you.
Right. Yeah, that's definitely possible.
This island is for you. I've created this island for you. I've given you this space. Protect your space.
Right. Yeah, that is true. They can definitely do that. But whatever it is, they let you know on site. Like, they killing you on site if you step foot on that island. And I think in that case, like I say, that's rightfully so. You know what I'm saying? But in the modern world, in the world that we live in, it's really not, you know, it's hard to do that, you know, per se.
You said something. When you say we living in the modern world, but they are not living in the modern world. So the killer part is to me is whose world is right, whose world is wrong. You know what I'm saying? So just because we living in the modern world, that don't give us the right to say, hey, we should go over there. And I know you don't feel that way, but I'm just saying that who's to say that just because we're in the modern world and what we want to do is right? And that's why I hate that this situation happened, because now I feel like it's only a matter of time, and they're steadily digging and looking for a reason to go over there and mess with these people instead of just leaving them alone.
Right. I agree. You know, that's why I say I don't. Yeah, I agree with that because I don't think it is about right or wrong. Because for me, in our society, even though with all the technology and technology advancements that we have made as a society, I still don't think we're evolving. I think we're devolving as a species and how we treat people. You know what I'm saying? Even though we got this technology, we got money, but I still think the way we treat each other and the way the world is going, I just think that's, you know, that's not in line with nature, and it's not in line with righteousness and justice. Yeah, so I would never say what the way they live is wrong or it's primitive, because see, we gotta be mindful too that a lot of times they use terms like primitive, savage, uncivilized. Like, these are all conqueror terms that the Europeans used to describe a particular way of life that wasn't in line with how they saw life. You know what I'm saying? So they wanted to impose their particular views and life on indigenous people around the world and have them conform to what they thought a society could be or should be. You see what I'm saying? So, we just got to be mindful of those words, because primitive, uncivilized, all those things are kind of condescending terms, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're dumb. That doesn't necessarily mean you're not, not intuitive. That doesn't necessarily mean that you cannot have a certain level of technology and awareness and things like that. So we just got to be careful of those terms they use to describe people, like, you know, the North Sentinelese or indigenous people in general, you know. Let's get to the callers, y'all. This is Collective Minds Radio. We are talking about the North Sentinelese Island and what can we learn from the incident with John Chow getting hit with a fury of arrows, and they ended up killing the young boy. But let's go ahead and get to the call lines. Roger.
Okay. Let's take caller area code 315-767. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, I'm currently on a migration myself. Thanks for having me on the show. So you hear a bunch of background noise. It's just me traveling between cities.
Oh, no doubt.
Peaceful travel.
So, yeah. So I'm on the mindset that man got what he knew he was going to get. He wanted to deny what he was going to get, but he went and got it anyway. Because I'm quite sure he was well aware that these people would kill him.
Right.
He thought he had the protection of that book and the protection of the Holy Spirit and God. And if there is a God, that man's in heaven because he martyred himself on purpose.
Jesus.
He pretty much committed suicide.
Right.
But at the same time, if he knew about these people and he had an ounce of intelligence, he knew his presence would have been a detriment to those people. So either he was extremely selfish or he is extremely unintelligent.
Yeah.
Because his presence could kill that entire island's worth of people from a single call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is true. That is definitely true.
He walked himself into that. Everybody in that region knew that was what would happen. That's the price of experimenting with that island, and he chose to do it. So therefore, any kind of recourse to that island and anything that they say that they want to do or we should do to that island is just, in, I would say, just a way to sway us to take some more land from some more people.
Yep, right.
Land we don't even need, because what resources do you think they would have on that island other than making it another resort?
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
Yep. That's the thing.
So
that's the thing.
It's unnecessary.
Right. And a lot of people in his missionary were saying, you know, he had a death wish and he was just, you know, a little too gung-ho. And he did know the consequences according to what they reported, because he had wrote a letter to his parents or whatever saying that he was going over there. And if he does get killed, he was like, don't be mad at them. you know, this is God's will and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So he knew what he was getting into. It's illegal. The Indian government has made it illegal for anybody to get within 3 miles of the island. And, you know, if you do, it's illegal, and you go in there at your own risk. You know what I'm saying? So,
I want to ask the caller this. When you look at that situation, and, you know, like you hit everything 100%, knock it out the park. I agree with you 100%. Now, what Brother Kev said earlier was like we living in modern times. So when you look at the modern land masses and governments and the way we set up, do you think or do you feel that modern civilization, modern countries should adopt that same type of mindset, close itself off from each other, and only deal with the people of its land?
It's called community. And we have nation-building communities. You cannot have a strong, hardy, thriving community if you don't have borders. Because if you don't have borders, people come into your community and disrupt it. So in order to have a strong nation,
it
you must have strong borders.
It is what it is.
And when you do allow people into your community, you allow them in due to value, not due to their need. If they're needy, then what the hell are they going to do in your community besides bring more need?
That's interesting.
Right, right.
But now the modern people are soft. We don't think properly anymore because we have been weakened by the peacefulness that we have been given by our current government. But if we were human from, you know, when humans had to fend for their communities, we would understand. But we no longer need to understand because the government provides all of our needs, provides all of our protection while they slowly enslave us.
Okay. Now this is the one caveat to what y'all saying, because we got to remember, quote unquote, why America was established, right? Remember, America was supposed to be the land of the free. It was the beacon of the world to where you can go to the land of milk and honey, and there's great opportunity. So America was kind of marketed as a place.
I need to correct you on that.
If your country, hold on, I'll let you correct me if I say something incorrect. If your country is, you know, incorrect and you're being oppressed and you got a dictator or monarchy, a theology system or whatever, theocracy, government, whatever, America was marketed as that place where people can come. So let's not forget the whole Ellis Island thing. Let's not forget the large migration of Europeans from European countries that came to America based on what I'm just saying, opportunity, looking for wealth, the land of milk and honey, the gold rush. There's all type of things.
That's where it's at.
Well, America was kind of marketed as that place where people can come. Now, I'm not saying you can come illegally, but you should be able to go through the process based on what they said America was established for. Now, you can respond to that, Carla.
All right, so America was established by Europeans to gather resources for their nation so they could war against one another and have more resources than the other one. You know, Britain had their portion, France had their portion, Spain had their portion, and they were funneling all those resources back to their nation so they could war and be the bigger dog than the other one. So that's why these lands were colonized. We became America because we decided we didn't want to continue to pay taxes to people that didn't listen to us. And we fought back and said, well, you're not going to listen to us. We're not going to pay taxes to you because you're not taking care of us over here. So the rich white men with land fought back and then rallied up all the people who didn't have land and anything else, promising them all the big dreams and everything. They still do it today by, you know, coaxing the poor people into the military as, you know, enlisted soldiers, and then, you know, the officers get to be all the rich, wealthy people, or it's a way for a person that doesn't have the wealth to try to slide into the wealth factor by becoming an officer. So that it always provides those opportunities. But our nation was not built for hopes and dreams and stuff. It was built for resources for Europe. And then the people that took it got tired of giving their resources to Europe without the being able to actually have influence over what Europe is doing with the resources and what they were doing to them on the continent that they're on. And then people started coming over after we became the fledgling nation just so that they could get some milk and honey, as you say, because they heard of all the land and all the opportunities over here. Maybe, you know, some were fleeing for their religious stuff, you know, some small cults and stuff, but most people came over here because they didn't have anything where they were at. And they thought that the, you know, I'm hearing these great things about this place on the other side of the water. Well, you could just, you know, just go out and chop down some trees and make a house and be all right.
Right, right, right. Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that assessment. And it was largely for the European countries, like you said, because before America was established, you had Spanish territory, you had French territory, you know, you had British territory, and all these different factions of European nations, like you say, battling for control of this land. And, you know, once America was established, then they allowed, it was marketed now, it was marketed to Europeans, because I'm not going to say it was marketed to non-white countries or African countries, because we know we are the only, as far as black Americans, the only non-immigrants in this country. You see what I'm saying? But everybody else was an immigrant, you know, besides the Native American or Indians or whatever. But, yeah, it was largely marketed for them to, you know, a land of opportunity where they can build wealth and build their own society. So Europe sent a lot of their jailbirds and degenerates and vagabonds. And that was the Great Migration, and that was the whole Ellis Island thing. And they all came over here, started illegal businesses, flipped that money into legitimate businesses, and now we have America today.
For to provide labor for their aristocrats. Yep. Or to
right.
provide labor for their aristocrats that they had over here in place. Even though we separated
right.
from Europe, a lot of those aristocrats still maintain their ties and their connections and to those European countries. They just didn't pay them taxes anymore.
Right, right. Exactly. So, yeah, family, thank you, caller, for your call and comment. Please stand
yeah,
on.
Right on, caller.
Yes, sir. If you're just joining us, family, we are talking about the North Sentinel Island. We're talking about the missionary who was killed. And we kind of comparing, you know, our society. Should we leave them people alone? Do they need our technology and advancements to help them move along? I say hell to the no, but, you know, the discussion is on the table, and we want to have it. Because, like I said, I don't look at their particular society. Like, because here's the thing, y'all. We can speculate about what they might do. You see what I'm saying? We could be like, well, yeah, they could be killing their firstborn, and they could be having all different type of rituals that's inhumane and not right. Yeah, we could speculate about those things, but there are certain things that we know that they don't have to deal with, right? They don't have to deal with mass incarceration. They don't have to deal with miseducation. They don't have to deal with money. They don't have to pay light bills. They don't have to deal with gas bills. They don't have to deal with finding a job. They don't have to deal with racism. They don't have to deal with police shooting them. They don't have to deal with big prison complexes, things like that. Those are things that the modern world, especially indigenous black people around the world, have to deal with. You see what I'm saying? So I would give up my iPhone to not deal with those things. I would give up my 70-inch TV to not deal with those things. I would give up football and basketball to not deal with those things.
Oh, shoot. Hold
this
up.
Is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying. You dig what I'm saying? Because I don't want to deal
with it. He always throw football in there.
No, exactly. Because I'm throwing in the amenities that we have in this society that people look to as if the other things aren't going on. You know what I'm saying? So I got to throw in football because that is a major part of American society.
Man.
Sports in general is a major part of American society. So I'm saying I would give up those things in order to not be targeted by the police. Mass incarceration. Got to deal with racism. Got to deal with these other things. No, I don't want to deal with none of that. And I would give up my Samsung computer in my pocket to not deal with those things. You see what I'm saying? But again, that's just me. Yeah, that's just me. Let's get to the caller and see what's going on. We're talking about North Sentinel Leeds. Like the star, you want to take another call?
Okay, area code 314-381. Call you on with Collective Minds Radio. You have a question or a comment?
Well, look, on this issue.
Yes, sir. What's up, caller? Peace.
How you doing? And, you know, India, you know, nations have always been imperialistic, going back as far as you could ever want to study. India was imperialistic. It controlled land all the way down to what's today called Saudi Arabia. It controlled that and did what it had to do. And it would have done the same influence over the Andaman Island with the Jarrah people. But I agree with you. You should leave them people alone. And I see some pictures out there trying to impose Amazons with reddish skin amongst that scene there on the beach. That's not true. Those people there are jet black. The women are about as beautiful as you can get. Serena Williams ain't got nothing. Serena Williams ain't got nothing on these.
Right. 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 Yeah. I found it.
I know what you're saying.
I'm going to keep it real, Carla. Yeah. That when I look at those people, they are jet black. You can tell there's been no mixing. There's been nothing like so. From what I
they
think,
have
they,
the their blood is the most unadulterated because one of them members died. She was the last speaker of their language, which they call Bo, and they made mention that she has their people have the oldest genes on the planet that mankind know of.
Right.
And
exactly.
It has not been adulterated. Now, there are a bunch of notorious stuff going on today with the Indians using some of that island for tourists. You got tourists throwing candy at them and making them dance from this and dance for that, like, you know, they do. But let me tell you this. Let's ask this question. And don't let me forget about the founding of this country. Now, these people don't know jack about no damn Jesus.
Right.
Exactly. I thought Jesus' disciples were supposed to go throughout the whole world.
That's what he was trying to do. Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was saying that he would feel bad if he died and didn't tell those people about Jesus. Because they need
to know.
He made a good point with that. They should already know.
Yeah,
exactly.
And the lightning strike.
If he was a follower, if he was a follower of his religion, like he should be, he should know that.
All right, don't say as the lightning flashes in the west and shows in the east, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. They should already known about him.
Right, but see, now here's the thing. Now history tells us that historically the churches have always used the spread of Jesus to go in and conquer places. That was the first thing they did was send in the missionaries. Then they sent in the army. You dig what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's always been part of the church doctrine and creed is, you know, part of that manifest destiny is, okay, we going in spreading the word of Jesus, quote unquote, and then we go, you know, colonize and take over. So that's always been
that's
part
how
of
we
they,
know they
you know, the creed.
That's how we know
now
they true agenda.
Now, think, when you talk about leaving people alone, same should apply with these countries, like these African countries, where Obama was trying to get them to subject to homosexuality, like they want to mess with practices where women, women have been going through what they call circumcision. Those people have been doing that stuff for ages. Leave them alone. You know, in South Africa, the tribe that Mandela came from, they don't circumcise until you get ready to go through that manhood training. I mean, you might be 21 years old and they cutting the foreskin off of your penis.
Right.
People have known to have fainted when that was occurring to them. I know I would.
Yeah. There's a
now,
lot
one
of
other thing.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, because there's a lot of customs and things that people do that we may look down on and certain people may look down on. That's why I try not to judge, you know, these indigenous tribes. They may be naked, running around with the thing hanging out and all that. That's part of their culture, and who are we to say, you know, that that's right or wrong? You know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
you say,
I've been
with the
in
and people when they get older, who's to say that's right or wrong? That's just part of their culture.
That's their culture. You know, I've been in the southern part of Ethiopia, in the Oromo area, to a tribe called the Jinka, and the people, they have red akla, which is like the dirt. And they spread it's on their body, so their skin look red. The women are topless. They have locked hair. And if you got locked hair, you're going to be a center of attraction, I tell you. But that's their lifestyle. I mean, that is their lifestyle. That's what they do. Now, let me get on this thing with these pilgrims. See, what brought these settlers to this country? Well, actually, it was the Bible, because they was pilgrims. I'm going to give you some chapters. It was in Exodus chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 4. Well, actually, between verse 1 and 8. But verse 4 says, "And I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage, wherein they were strangers." Then 8 says, "And I will bring you unto the land concerning the which I did swear to give it to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And I will give it you for an inheritance. I am the Lord." That's what they was reading. And they went by that to think that this new land that they came upon was theirs. You go on like Psalms 37:29. "The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell therein forever." So the Bible played a big part in the motivations of the pilgrims that, you know, landed there on Plymouth Rock and did what they did, which brings us into what we are today.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Indeed. Yep. Thank you for the call, caller. We appreciate your input as always.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Now, look, I want to read this article from Time Magazine talking about the North Sentinelese. And it goes like this. They say, "They chose to have no interaction with mainstream society, often because of the catastrophic violence and disease such contact has brought to their people in the past. It is their choice and their right. We all claim the right to be safe. We put locks on our doors and are selective with who we admit to the places we call our own because we wish to minimize risk. The risk Chow posed to the Sentinelese cannot be overstated. It is not uncommon for 90% of a tribe to perish following first contact." Now you hear that. It say it is not uncommon for 90% of a tribe to perish following first contact with a colonizer or an outsider, let's just say.
Okay. Yeah, that's what the other point the caller brought up too. The first caller.
Right, exactly. Yeah, the first caller brought up. "To give one example of the risk, such contact can expose people to deadly pathogens to which they have no immunity, like Peru's Nahua people, half of whom died in the year after they were contacted. One day, the Sentinelese may decide among themselves that they wish to engage with a wider world, but it is their risk to take, and so it must be their choice to make." Bam, and I'm going to leave it right there. Now, that was just basically saying these people have a right to defend themselves because when they come in contact with outsiders based on disease, you know, bloodborne pathogens, whatever, they are at risk of the whole tribe being wiped out. You see what I'm saying? They're at risk of their whole or 90% of their tribe being wiped out. And we have record again of this happening all around the world. There are tribes in the Amazon who, I don't know if they're just as old, but they're pretty old and isolated as well. They're not as isolated as the North Sentinelese, but there are tribes in the Amazon that don't have a lot of contact with outsiders, you know. And then we know what happened to the people on Tasmania Island. We know what happened to the Aboriginals in Australia. These people almost pretty much got wiped out. The Aboriginals on New Zealand, these places, major populations of people were wiped out due to disease and or direct violence from people claiming to spread the word or spread Christianity or what have you, or these religious texts. So that is definitely something to keep in mind, because it's not just a matter of, you know, the missionary going in. This is actually a health risk, you know, when outsiders come into these places, you know. So that's just another thing that
you know. What else? You know what else I thought was very interesting too. It's so interesting to me that America have not forced their way in.
Right.
That's what they're trying to do now. That's why I think that they're going. That's the mission they're coming on.
I wonder, but even that it hasn't been done yet is still surprising.
Right.
And it makes me wonder why, because I feel like it's a why there, and I'm curious to know why that has not happened.
Yeah, that is interesting.
So with
go ahead, bro.
When you say that, let me add this to the dynamic. Us as being Americans, if the Sentinelese people left that island and tried to step foot here, should we do them the same way? Because how do we know what they're bringing with them from their island?
Right. Well, I would say
I mean,
no. And I mean, that's a hypothetical, because I don't think them people leaving and trying to go nowhere. They just, they would have.
Right.
Been
but
there,
I'm just saying, since we're saying what have we learned from this situation, and I'm saying the same thing applies for them if they leave their island. No, stay where you at. Stay where the Creator put you.
Right. But now here's the thing, though, because we are more of a danger to them than they are to us. That's what they're saying, like, as far as diseases and stuff. Because when outsiders come in contact with them, they're killed. When they come in contact with Europeans and colonizers, they usually kill them. Like, I mean, that's the case all over the world. That's just like when they came over here with the smallpox and, you know, these black plague disease, just like all different type of diseases and people being wiped out in Europe in these places. When they travel to these indigenous spots, they wipe out the people. It's not the other way around. You see what I'm saying? It's when they come, they wipe out the indigenous people, not the other way around. So we're probably
it could be that it's not the other way around. I'm just throwing this in for sake of argument. It's because most of the time when those people come, they come and stay. They come and conquer and inhabit and take over. So that's why they bringing their diseases to the indigenous people of their land, because they moving in. But like I said, if a mass movement of those people was coming here, or just not even just here, just to any other country, who's to say what they could be bringing to those people?
Right, but I think the risk would be to them. That would be suicide for them. they would leave their island, and it would be suicide, you know, without the shots and the modern stuff that, you know, people got to go through to fight these so-called diseases. But
that's interesting there too.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that would be interesting. But I think for the most part, we could probably assume that these people just want to be left alone. They own an island about the size of Manhattan. And, you know, they ain't have the desire, from my knowledge, to leave and bother anybody else. You know, their desire is just to, hey, do their own thing. And if you step foot on their shores, then you know, you got to get dealt with on site.
So
they probably
called
it on Babylon.
Would y'all welcome them into your, say you was in Jamaica, and you the ruler of Jamaica. Would y'all allow the, you know, I ain't going to say that because we in America. Fuck it. I'm going to keep it where it is. We here.
Would y'all let them come here? Would y'all let them come on to the continent?
I mean, I feel like if you go through the right process, and yeah, it's legal for people to come from other countries into America. So yeah, if you go through the process, I don't see a problem with it, you know. And you know, abide by the rules of the land and do what you do. I don't you know, I don't see no problem with it, to be honest.
You feel the same way, Roger?
Yeah, pretty much. I think actually we should be able to go there too, though. But I understand the risk. So if it's for safety purposes, then yeah, I would say no, we don't want to go there to harm anybody. And I think as far as the process goes, as long as the process is to verify whether or not, you know, health-wise you're safe, you don't have anything like that, and that you're not trying to, you know, do harm to someone, you know, then, hey, yeah. If you're just here to live, you're just trying to be respectful to yourself and other people, yeah, well, yeah, come on. You're healthy, you're not giving out diseases and stuff like that. Yeah, sure, why not?
Right.
Because I want to throw this in, too. You know, say the Sentinese people just saying, hey, maybe it's not about disease. What if it's because they know they have a certain amount of resources and they're not taking in any outsiders? So with that being said, reverse that to America. How many people should America allow to keep continue to come in, migrate in and migrate in? Do you think at some point, whether it's there or here, that country can you know, take in too many people and its resources be dwindled away?
Yeah.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, I think that is a such thing. Yeah, that's definitely possible. And I feel like, you know, especially from a black male perspective, we have limited resources as a group, period. So any outsiders that are coming in is going to affect our ability to gain resources, because a lot of these immigrants come from other places and they undermine our communities, meaning, you know, set up business in our community, get established, get wealth for their family, and send that money back to their family or bring their family over here to continue the business. And we're not owning the majority of the commerce and the business within the communities that we heavily populate. You know what I'm saying? So I think in that sense, when a lot of outsiders come in and there's a limited amount of resources, it does it can affect the society as a whole. But now my other thing is, there are enough resources in America. I would just say that as far as money goes, even though it may seem like it, but there's enough money in America, because a lot of our money is just numbers on a computer. It's not even real. So there are ways, you know, people can get money and do things. So I just feel like the money thing is like when you go to the beach and you swimming in the ocean, like you don't get mad because somebody else get in the beach because there's enough water. You know what I'm saying? That's how the money is. It's very plentiful if we have that mindset and that outlook to where, yes, there's enough money for everybody to go around. And that's been proven time and
time
again.
Well, money and resources can be seen, looked at as two different things, too. But
right, possibly. Yeah.
I mean, not saying that money isn't a resource, but it's not like
right. I got you.
When you say
it's
resource,
not like
it's not
resource.
Money. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
But another thing too, to that, what Mufasa just asked, I look at this situation. Like, okay, say for I've taken a few girls' trips, okay? So we have a big house, and say if I get there late and the best bedroom is taken, I just go to the next room. If it's that bad, right. I mean, basically what I'm saying is we all, and all, it always, for me, goes back to individuals. And if there's a place that's too occupied, you just move. But the individual should be okay with that. You shouldn't want to come in and say, okay, I'm just going to take the resource. So if it gets to a point where things are lacking, which I do understand what Brother Kevin is saying too, because I think we have resources to do people, you know, to feed people. But I do think it's a such thing as us being outgrowing too, you know, and that comes from just irresponsible births and pregnancies and things like that, not being responsible. But that's a whole other situation. But
right, let's.
So if we have the right mindset, then it wouldn't even matter. If the place is too filled, you move to another place. Even if you travel to America and it ain't right, stuff is not enough, then you move to the next place. The world, basically, forget America. The world is big enough for everybody. So we just go to different places, you know, to places, you know, where we have a place. And like, again, and if I go to I go to a home, I get there late, the best bedrooms are taken up, I have a choice. I can say, you know, I'm going to go to the next one. If I just simply don't like anything there, I can leave and go somewhere else and get my own space.
This is true.
So I think if we have that understanding that we can still, you know, do things, then it should be okay. You know, and it only becomes a problem when someone gets to an area that may be limited on resources because there's so many people there, and they say, you know what, I'm taking it anyway, I'm taking yours. That's where the problem comes in.
Right, that's when greed comes in.
I'm going to take what you have because I don't have it and I want it.
Right, there you go. And if you just joined this family, it's Collective Minds Radio, Ride the Star, Brother Mufasa, and I'm Brother Kev. We're talking about the North Sentinelese Island and what can we learn from that situation. Let's go to the call lines. If y'all want to add to the conversation, give us a call, 929-477-1697. Rigel.
Okay, area code 314-616. Caller, you're on with Collective Minds Radio. Do you have a question or a comment?
Peace, family. How's everybody going?
Peace, peace.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you, brother?
Thank you. All is well.
I had somewhat of a brain freeze, but we are talking about the Sentinelese people, correct?
Yes, yes, yes. And what can we learn, you know, from
those people? It is what it is.
First and foremost, I want to quote the ancestor, Dr. Khalid Muhammad, who said that Africa is our throne and the world is our home, so every indigenous man on the face of the planet should be able to go anywhere that they please. I think that what we can learn from them is that they have a code, because even though this Asian or whatever he was wanted to spread the good news of white supremacy to the world according to the Bible, they showed them that they were not interested in whatever news he was trying to spread. And I think that we see that they have managed to be self-sustainable, self-govern themselves for the past 60,000 years. You know, according to what we believe, that they have been occupying that island. But one thing I want people to understand is these people are not sovereign. These people have protective status, and there's a difference. Because sovereign means that they would be free to leave the island. Because the same way that you can't go in, they can't go out. You know, I want you to understand this too, is while we look at that as something special, how they had that protective status, I would argue that people on the south side of Chicago and certain parts of Detroit and certain parts here in the United States experience that same thing, where you're not allowed to go in certain places. You follow what I'm saying? So
I think that
these people definitely are on code, and whatever type of community that they're living in, they stick to themselves within their own community. So that's something that can be learned from the Sentinelese people. But, you know, as far as visiting them and things like that, I would strongly argue, like, because we have to understand that we only know what's being reported. Don't think for one second that white supremacy has not taken a helicopter to drop you know, listening devices and viewing devices to see what's going on, because it will bother the fuck out of them not to know something. You know?
Right, right.
So,
right.
You know, I would say that these people probably don't have a lot of resources there. They probably have the kind of resources that allow them to stay survive as far as food, you know, and shelter. But as far as, like, control and things of that nature, I don't think they had that, because if they had that, I think that they would have been colonized a long time ago.
Right, right.
Now, hey, you know what? You know what? What he just said made me think about something, and I'm actually tapping into also what a caller said earlier. And, you know, this is not to be like a, you know, a conspiracy deal, but, I mean, we talking about this, so I'm throwing it all out there, everything that I'm thinking about. Who's to say, right, like he said, that those people ain't allowed to leave as well? Who's to say that the system of white supremacy,
it is what it is,
don't have them over there in a glass bubble, and in the secret of the night or in the dark of the night, they go over there and rape, plunder, take however many women they want to take, and go somewhere and do whatever they want to do with them. We really don't know what could be happening underneath our noses. We can only go by what the mainstream media tells us. But how do we know in the midnight hour, you know, military don't go over there and pluck away five or six women and take them somewhere and do whatever they want to do with them, just have their way with them? We do not know.
That is true. We don't know. Yeah, that is true now. Because with the question, I think Roger raised that question earlier, like, why haven't
it is what it is
that island been conquered, or why haven't the U.S. or any imperialistic country went over there? Now, what I've read and what I've seen, there have been attempts.
Thank you, caller.
By people, yeah. Thank you for the call and the comment. We appreciate you. From what I've seen, there have been attempts. So it's not like, because people have been known about this island for a long time. I think like since the 1600s or 1700s, Marco Polo wrote about it. A few other, you know, European explorers wrote about it. So they've known about this island for a long time. I think just in modern times, they need a reason to actually go in there. You know what I'm saying? There's no real reason for them to really go in there and mess with those people. So at this point, I think it's too late in the game to just, you know, send some people over there. Because I saw some online where they was like, yeah, you know, they could just send two or three Navy SEALs over there and just go in there and wipe the whole tribe out and blah, 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 with machine guns and all this weaponry. I'm like, yeah, they could do that, but, you know, to what consequence, and what would be the reason for you going over there doing that? And then now the world would turn on you, looking at you like, oh, man, you just going in and slaughtering these people because of what? You know what I'm saying? So I think now the dilemma that they face is, why should we even go in there at this point? You know what I'm saying? As far as, because we don't know what type of resources they got. I don't know. They could be sitting on Wakanda for real. You know, but they don't really have a reason to go over there from what I can gather. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Like I was saying, it might not be. Might be because they don't want to go over there because that's their little honey hole. Rich people want to sleep with some native, untampered with. But JJ, you know, they could be auctioned off to the highest bidder. You send a team in there and extract two, three women and, you know,
that
just like
cool.
Sex trafficking. We don't know what they could be doing to them people over there, you know. And you know, it's sick people on the planet that's like that. Very sick people on the planet that's like that. They say, "Oh wow, it's this island with untapped, you know, indigenous people."
It's documented, man.
I want one of them women.
Right. I mean, all that stuff is documented where these people have these sexual conquests where they go into these indigenous lands and basically have their way with these people sexually. Like,
it
Thailand
is what it
is. The biggest places where you can go have sex with underage children, women, sex. Like, it's just crazy when you know, when you do the knowledge on these places. And there's a lot of different in places around the world where people just go and have these sexual conquests. You know what I'm saying?
Because think about it, if they're not allowed to leave, if they're not allowed to leave, just like people, you know, normal Joe ain't allowed to go, who they going to tell?
Exactly.
Who can they tell that what's going on to them in the middle of the night? Who's to say? Which could
right,
be why
right,
they
yeah.
react so violently when a stranger do come up on them, because they like, here they come with this crap. Here they come. You know?
Right.
Here they come to steal five, six women and take them off and we never see them again. Or young children or men, whatever they doing. We don't know what type of sick stuff could be going on in the darkness of the night. Not saying it is, but you never know.
Right, you never know. That is true, but we have to leave that with speculation until we get, you know, some further evidence. But anything, yeah, that is definitely possible. So I wouldn't, you know, completely rule that out, but I would need a little something to support that. So now we gotta talk about the, as far as the missionary part of why he was going over there. So now, do y'all think, like, are missionaries necessary? Like, what is the motivation? Because I guess when you talk to Christians, they say, you know, they want to spread the word and they feel like everybody needs to know this message. But from my history and research, the missionaries have not done nothing but harm to the indigenous people. So,
right.
I mean, I need one of y'all to rescue me if I'm wrong or if I'm misinformed or what.
Well, Nicola said it right earlier. He said, he spoke on it earlier. If you so-called a missionary and you following this Bible, like, you know, word for word, line upon line, precept upon precept, the gospel should already been spread across the earth, and you should know this. So that missionary stuff to me is a load of crap. It's just an excuse for them to go over and start trying to, you know, take over or inhabit someone's land. You know, don't if you following that your doctrine the way you're supposed to, it already says that all that stuff has already been spread throughout the world.
Right.
So that's how I know it's a load of crap. It's a bunch of BS, that whole missionary work stuff. It's something else, you know, to it.
That's what I wanted to add. Like, that's what I'm, like, where does that mindset come from to where we feel like we have to spread our spiritual beliefs to other people? And if we don't, you know what I'm saying, as opposed to keeping it to ourselves, because, you know, religion and spirituality, that should be like a personal thing. But for some reason, it's like, yeah, exactly. That for some reason it feels like, okay, I need to go over here and spread it to these people, you know, because I'm doing them
a
favor.
I'm
saving their soul and all that type of stuff. But, you know,
I don't trust nobody who does that. I really don't trust people who do that. You know, especially when they try to be so hard with it. Like, you coming to me and, like, you just going to really force this on me.
Right.
You know, now if we just having a dialogue and you drop some jewels on me, okay, cool. But when you're like, nah, I'm finna come to your house and I'm just gonna force myself upon you and teach you this and you're gonna learn this and I'm gonna keep coming back over and over and over until you get this. I don't trust it.
Right.
Especially when that so called Christian belief system, according to it, all that message had already been spread. So, you know, some foolishness. It's just slick talk.
Right. What you think about missionaries, Tanya? Or Roger, I'm sorry.
Well, depends on to what degree that we're speaking of. Like Mufasa, he brought up good points. You know, it's the degree in which you exercise. You know, one or two tries, you know, okay, I'm not going to knock that. But if you, you know, just bammed it at somebody, yeah, that's concerning. That's not good behavior. Because it should, at that point, you should be 100% clear that the person is not interested anyway if you have to keep going back, you know. So I think it's just degrees. And the reason why I look at it that way because just from a spiritual point of view and from my own experience, I've experienced times where, you know, it was like I guess something easy for somebody to understand, you can say I had a feeling to do something, you know. And under those cases, if you just have a spiritual feeling or an awareness or epiphany or something that feels like you are instructed to do something, it's okay to follow that. And I do see that as some sort of a missionary thing to it, but it's a lesser degree of it. Because you still, at some point, you either, if you obey the sense that you have and you do go out and do something or just say something to somebody, then, you know, I still look at that as a form of missionary practice.
Right.
So just
now, what you...
Right.
Now, what you said was key because people have used that excuse. They've said, God told me to do this and come over here and tell you about Jesus and this. I'm doing God's mission and God told me to do this. So that'd be my thing. Like, where do we draw the line like, how do we know? How do we verify that? And what is the true motive of you so-called spreading this message? And like I say, based on history, that message has really been dangerous to the indigenous people because they haven't gotten much out of it as far as the spreading of, you know, these particular religions, especially Christianity. I just had to put that out there. But, you know, where do we draw the line? Right. I'm just saying, but that is based on, you know, what I've seen throughout history and what they've said as far as why they've spread this message and why they went around conquering.
It is what it is.
It was because God told them to spread this word, and either you got down or you laid down. You got down with the word or you laid down. You know, so that's why I'd be like, well, how do you know, you know, how do we verify if someone has an epiphany that that's coming from the right place? You know, it may be to them, but who's to say that's not detrimental to, you know, the people who they...
It takes a lot of experience and wisdom to be able to discern or differentiate between the two. It takes a lot of wisdom and a lot of experience and a lot of discipline because you have to be aware. You have to have a certain kind of awareness to be able to not only recognize it, but to be able to identify what it is and things like that. So it definitely takes, it takes something. It's not just, you know, it's like I think I mentioned this before to you guys. You can't just be so, go so high or just go climb a tree, the tallest tree, without having balance, or you're going to fall. So I make that point because you have to, it's more to it than just saying, I had a feeling, or because we all have feelings, you know, so it takes more to it than that. So to answer that question, how do we tell? Sometimes if you don't have that balance, you can't go that high up the tail. You just probably won't know. So until you sharpen your awareness and have exercise of more wisdom, to, you know, have that discernment to differentiate, then you probably won't know, you know. So I think that's what it just takes on as individuals. Even if it's the person that have the notion or the whatever you want to call it to do something, to act in a certain manner, whether it's to go out to knock on somebody's door and say something, or whether it's to do whatever, you know. And I'm sure we've all experienced those things too. But like you say, if you don't have the awareness or the understanding of what it is, sometimes it's hard to say what it is, and you can miscall it. You know, you can call it something else that it's not. You know, but we all have those experiences in most cases.
That's right. That's right. We down to the last.
So maybe we're all
some
form of a missionary to a degree.
No, don't put that on me. No, I am not.
Maybe we're all some sort of a form. It's just a degree, Brother Kevin.
No,
it's just a degree
I'm
in which you
positive.
A missionary.
No.
Yeah, it's
no,
to a degree.
No,
it's to
this
a
is
degree
my thing.
If you.
No, this is my thing. If you're having a conversation and your spirituality comes up, then you provide the information. But to go out and feel like you need to save this person or give them some information that they're not privy to in order to save their soul, I don't know if that's the right thing to do. I think if your lifestyle, if you're showing improvement in your life, people will gravitate to you and ask questions, what's going on. Then you impart
that
knowledge.
They will.
But to go out and
just
knock on
doors
to try to
convert
people.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with that.
Clouded,
sometimes you may.
Right. You have instruction, but that gets cloudy because who's instructing you? You can be instructed to go out and kill a whole tribe of people if they don't agree with your God. See, now,
that's why I say it takes wisdom and experience, too. To, you know, you don't do crazy things, but it takes wisdom. You know, but
right.
And another thing too, you also have to realize that we have to be very careful with words. Some words are so tainted and polluted that it's sometimes hard to even use certain words without messing it up. And when you say to just save someone's soul, it may not be to just save a soul per se. If you want to use those words, it can just be to help someone through a situation
right,
that they may be going through at that time. Or it could be, you know, but helping. But to save a soul, that's still, in other words, you're trying to help someone.
No,
know,
right, but that's
you're
what I'm
hoping
saying.
To help
but that's
someone.
The, right, but that's the end game of religion, especially Christianity, is to save your soul. That's the end game.
But what
so
is saving
that
soul?
Would be
helping them.
That's what I'm saving it from eternal damnation or going to hell. That would be saving the soul, quote unquote. Now, I'm not saying I believe this. I'm just saying this is what.
But you're helping them in a sense. And that's what I mean. Right. But it still can be of a help. And it's only. I'm going to see if I can explain.
We're down
this
the last 2 minutes.
Quick.
Yeah, we're down the last
exactly.
2 minutes.
Okay,
yeah,
say for instance.
We're going to have to do that on another. We're going to have to get back on that at another time.
I said quickly, brothers. So
here
I said
she go.
Quickly.
Here she go. Go ahead. Come on.
15 seconds from me. Okay, so if I'm at a restaurant and I have an urge or a feeling or a spiritual feeling that I'm guided to come to you at a table, I don't know, and give you something, and that what I gave you held you up long enough where you missed having an accident and dying. I helped you, but you don't see how I helped you, but some things can just be a help. And your death could have, if we want to use the word sent the soul, your death, or saving a soul, that death at that time, if you had to die, could have, quote-unquote, sent you to the hell that the Christian's talking about. So we can't say what a help. That's why I'm like, you can't just say save a soul, because ultimately if you look at it as you're just trying to help somebody, you're just doing good things. You're just dropping off positive things to somebody to hopefully help them along their journey. You can't say that what you're actually saying is going to save their soul. You can just say that it should help them along their way, if that makes any sense.
Well, right on. Hey, look us up on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. Email us at collectiveminds@yahoo.com. Give us some feedback.
Yes,
we
sir.
Appreciate y'all calling in.
Collective Minds Radio.
Stand on your square. We on the